See?
He hasn't come on yet.
Okay.
Malcolm.
He hasn't come on yet.
Thank you.
Desmond.
You haven't come on yet.
Okay. How are you? Cut the stove.
Cut the stove.
Stop it.
Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
I apologize for the delay. I was having some phone issues. So let us begin. I'll start with a L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkin Tebit Hilu Erchimu Hilu Hilu Erchimu. Leyakda l'shem yudhei bavavhei, b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah, v'ayhino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu konene aleinu ma'asei yadenu konenehu. The handout, somebody has told me that it's still the last year's handout, 5777. And you can utilize that. But if you change the last number in the upper bar to 78, you'll find it loads properly. I apologize. I was somewhere in my head somewhere, and I didn't get that link corrected, so I apologize. Please note that Tammuz and Av are essentially difficult months. Of course, not all of the days of these 2 months are difficult. The last 12 days of Tammuz and the first 10 days of Av are the most difficult days in the Hebrew year. Here is a Kabbalistic explanation of why. And it's a commentary about Parasha Shlach, which we read last Shabbat. It's titled Satan and the Summer Months. The Torah in Parasha Shlach tells the distressing story of the spies who were sent to see Eretz Yisrael and then convince the people that they would be unable to conquer the land. Curiously, the Torah tells us that the spies were sent to Eretz Yisrael during the time of Bikura Anabim, when the grapes began to ripen. This occurs in the summertime, and Chazal indeed tells us that the spies left on the 29th of Sivan and returned 40 days later on the 8th of Av. The question arises, why is this information significant? How does it add to our understanding of the tragic story? The Midrash Eliyah, a compendium of cryptic comments by our sages on the Chumash, explains that the timing of the scout's mission is the reason why it failed. The mission ended in tragedy because it took place during the period of Bikurei Anabim. The great Kabbalist Rav Shimshon of Astropoli, who authored a commentary to the Midrash Pliya, explains that while the Satan always poses a threat to the children of Israel, its power increases during specific times of the year, including the 2 summer months of Tammuz and Av. Indeed, as we know, many calamities befell the children of Israel, the nation, during these months, such as the destruction of both temples. The Hebrew word anabim is spelled ayin nun bet mem, and the letters preceding these four letters are samach, mem, aleph, and lamed. These letters spell the name by which the Satan is called, samach mem. In truth, the word anabim is written also with the letter yud. But according to Kabbalistic tradition, the word is written in the heavenly Torah without a yud. This subject requires a fuller discussion in a separate context. On this basis, Rav Shimshon explains, we can understand the Midrash's remark. The phrase Bikura Anabim may be read to mean that which precedes Anabim. The Midrash is telling us that this was a time when the Satan is given special power, and thus our evil inclination is particularly strong. Hence, the timing of this expedition is the cause of its failure, as the scouts were especially prone to succumbing to their Yetzer Hara, their evil inclination. This is an unwritten commentary to this story. Are we supposed to run our lives by the energy of the day? It's a question. In the secular world, in modern secular world, that would be expressed as foolish or worse. It's a question, are we supposed to do that? My teachers have expressed it this way. You become aware of the energy of the day. You go about your business, but you take into account the energy of the day. But you do not run your life based on the energy of the day. That needs to be said, because during this month of Tammuz, you cannot go sleep in your bed for 30 days. We're going to make you aware of the energy of the month and how it impacts our lives. And it's a negative month. But it doesn't mean that it has to be negative for you. Kabbalistically, every time we describe negativity, we're describing energy that is too big for the vessel. If it's a negative month, it's because your vessel is not cleansed sufficiently, because your vessel is not ready for this amount of energy. And we're going to discuss tonight how you can make sure that your vessel can handle the energy. I'm continuing to read the handout. This notion that the Satan has special power during the summer months is plainly visible even in our days. The months of Tammuz and Av generally fall during the month of July and August, which we instinctively associate with a loose atmosphere. This year it's earlier, or in the month of June. And when we are all especially prone to relaxing our religious standards. Just as an aside, in the traditional American synagogues, the rabbi takes off the summer months the contract year of a rabbi and the school principal and the cantor starts July 1st. They're preparing their high holiday speeches. They're taking their vacations. They don't do studies during those months. They don't do limuds. The attendance in the synagogues are less. Why? Is it because Satan is in control more so in those months? As this essay is expressing? Or another reason? I'm continuing to read. The summer months are associated with a loose atmosphere. We relax our religious standards. A time when the when modest dress becomes particularly difficult, challenging in the hot weather to wear full clothes over all of our body. Not coincidentally, our schools and yeshivot close down during these months, and students are left without their ordinary framework of Torah study and outside of the Torah environment, which they spend their days throughout the rest of the year. All this proves the accuracy of Rav Shimshon of Astropolis' depiction of the Satan's unique strengths during Tammuz and Av. Moshe told the spies before they left, V'hit aschakhetem, you shall be strong. We need to be especially strong and vigilant during this time of year to maintain our religious standards and not relax our commitment to halakha. Certainly, we are all entitled to a relaxing vacation, which often proves valuable and vitally important for our physical and emotional well-being. At the same time, however, especially because of the relaxed, laid-back environment of summer, we need to take extra special care, and as Moses instructed, to be strong in maintaining proper Torah standards, recognizing the special power given to the Satan during the summer months. Let us redouble our efforts to avoid improper behavior and remain faithful to our values, even as we enjoy a well-deserved period of relaxation. And let me be especially clear. Are you entitled to a relaxing vacation? In the physical world, a relaxing vacation is beneficial. But never take a vacation from the light. Never take a vacation from Hashem. Now let's continue with our handout and our understanding of the month of Tammuz. Tammuz translates as a completeness of strength or completely adamant. Tam, the first part of Tammuz, Taf Mem, translates as a completeness of strength. Tam actually means to be completion, to be complete. Az, Vav and Zion, or Az, Oz, means strength or tenacity, as in being unwavering in one's power. Tom also translates as simple or innocent, meaning meandering through life, sitting back and allowing life to go on without much of our participation. Simplicity is incidental. Booze or trap also translates as stubborn. It is also the month when the great flood of Noah's time began to subside, and the tops of the highest mountains first became visible. This is a month that commemorates the beginning of the end, the faithful assault on Jerusalem by the Babylonians. This event eventually brought down the first temple, exiled our prophets in many of our tribes, and destroyed the first Jewish Commonwealth about 2,600 years ago. It also believed to be the beginning of the siege around Jerusalem 500 years later that led to the destruction of the Second Temple and the Second Commonwealth, this time by the Romans. These claims of events began on the 17th day of Tammuz. In other words, they occurred after the moon had reached its fullness and begun to wane. This strengthens our connection to the tenaciousness, and this certainty certainly brings one closer to completeness, to accomplishment. The lessons of Tammuz is about maintaining consistency, not allowing the power you have brought forth to relax, to wane, to slip away by stepping back from the continuance. When we sit back in the simple faith that we've done enough, put in enough effort, and our vision, our goal, will now take on a life of its own and continue to evolve, the walls around us begin to tremble, to tumble, and the invasion of failure and downfall meets us instead. Likewise, as people, we grew too comfortable. We became overly bureaucratic, excessively structured with monarchs, with temples, with rituals, and our life force as a nation began to slowly ebb and lose momentum. Our prophets cried to us in the streets, warning us, trying to wake us out of our slumber. But we paid them no mind. Everything was fine the way it was. Simplicity set in. Naivete took us over, and eventually callousness. And there we remained with the same tenaciousness as that which had given us strength to become a nation of Hashem wrestlers, the very meaning of Israel. Eventually, the outside world overtook us and carried us away in chains. The moon of Tammuz is the beginning of the period during which the night begins to borrow from the day, from the darkness, partakes of light. Tragedy reaches into the coffers of hope and draws on faith. As bleak as it is in times of having this, Tammuz reaches us or teaches us to use the darkness to discover the light. In the light, the ancient ones reminded us, one cannot see what is in the darkness. In the darkness, however, one can see into the light. If you are standing in the dark, you can easily see what is going on outside of whatever that is lit up. Whereas, if you were in it, in a lit up home, looking out your window at night, you would not be able to see what is going on outside. Tammuz is also the moon during which the golden calf was constructed and worshipped. In other words, Tammuz, like its meaning, is a moon that exudes both empowerment and simplicity, tenaciousness and completeness. We can choose to use our strength and simplicity, our power towards completeness, towards purpose, or we can use that tenacity to remain in the state of complacency. We can direct our powers towards building the holy temple and shattering the golden calf, or building the golden calf and shattering the holy temple, Chas v'Shalom. Tammuz is the month when the sun is at its hottest, the beginning of seasonal shifting from the place of balance. Prior to this moon, the days have been as long as the nights. This has been for a while, that it is not too hot or not too cold. That is all in balance with the arrival of Tammuz. However, the days become more intense. The days become longer than the nights. In other words, it is a time of shifting away from the place of balance, which in turn can lead to confusion and vulnerability, both individually and collectively. The ancients reminded us, however, that in the very whirlwind of confusion and in this place of imbalance, we can discover the greatest gifts and claim our highest powers if we but push through the impediments. The eagle, Moses reminds us, over 3,300 years ago, teaches its chicks to discover their own strength and capacity by stirring the nest so that they fall out, literally pushing the baby birds out of the nest. And as they fall, they flap their wings. And as they flap their wings, they learn to fly. This can be the month of Tammuz. Or we can remain in the nest and experience the downfall of the nest. These choices are, each one of us has these choices. During Tammuz, our sages have taught, Hashem calls out in a resounding vibrational sound that is inaudible to mortals, a sound that the Kabbalists can hear, a sound that the students of Kabbalah can learn to hear, a sound that summons the deepest recesses of our powers. This divine call delivers courage to those parts of us that are afraid, even to those animals that live in fear of predators, call for courage and stamina. Like Rabbi Nachman of Breslov teaches, within the very obstacles that prevent you from discovering Hashem is precisely where Hashem waits to be discovered. Tammuz is an incredible challenge and equally an incredible opportunity. The operating principle of Tammuz is emotional. People born under the sign of Tammuz, under the sign of Sartan, the sign of Cancer, are emotional human beings to a great extent. And underneath that emotion is fear. The astrological sign is called Sartan in Hebrew, Cancer in English. There's no coincidence. The name Cancer is chosen by Abraham Avinu in the Sefer Yetzirah. The name cancer is the name of a disease, a deadly disease, chas v'shalom. What is that disease? Darkness. Fear that immobilizes. Take an x-ray of someone with a tumor in their breast or their chest or other parts of their body. What do you see on the scan, on the x-ray? You see dark spots, indicating that the light cannot escape. The light has been repressed by the darkness. This is the fear taking control. What do we have to do for the month of Tammuz? Control our fears. The crab, the sartan, has this hard shell. Whenever it becomes frightened, it just crawls into its shell. The crab is soft and tender. Not kosher, but soft and tender. So it builds this shell. But every so often, it outgrows the shell. And then it has to leave the shell where it is because it has to build a bigger shell, one that has more room for it. But while it's building that shell, that larger shell, it's vulnerable and it has to hide. This is the month of Tammuz, especially after the 17th of Tammuz, where we have to hide as we build the greater capacity. It's not that we are afraid. We are being prudent. And we will find when we study the meditation that the Ari has given us for the negative 3 weeks, that what we're doing is veiling the energy, veiling the light. Because we're being prudent, recognizing that we need the larger vessel during this period. The month of Tammuz is a month of vision. This is the attribute. Being able to see in the darkness. That means using your third eye. That means using your intuition. It means practicing with your intuition. The tribe is the tribe of Reuben. But before it was Reuben, it was Yehuda. Reuben lost the rights of the firstborn because he didn't control his lusts for Bilhah, the maid of his mother, the wife of his father. What does it tell us? What does it teach us? How do we handle the energy of Tammuz? We have to use binding by striking. We have to connect to our intuition. We are in a difficult year, and Tammuz is a difficult month. And we will find that next year, 5779, is also a difficult year. We will have that discussion before Rosh Hashanah. On the 17th of Tammuz, we begin 10 weeks until Rosh Hashanah. As students of Kabbalah, you know that these 10 weeks represent the 3 negative weeks and then the 7 weeks of comfort. These 10 weeks represent the 10 Sephirot. The 3 upper Sephirot that are too much energy for the human being to handle. These are the 3 negative weeks, followed by the 7 weeks of comfort, the 7 lower Sephirot that we can utilize, that we can learn about controlling, that we can do the teshuvah and return to Hashem. There are many things that we can learn during the month of Tammuz about attributes, herbs, all written in our handout. And I recommend you discuss it, you learn it, you read it. The shadow moon for Tammuz is from Tammuz to Teves is the house of sovereignty, which is about control, wielding one's presence and power over others. This is the challenge to the visionary, being able to see. The lawyer, to know when to pull back so as not to overwhelm others with their power and clarity. Because being a lawyer means also to know when to be silent, when one has more clarity about a situation than others, and to know when to step back, when to allow others to figure things out for themselves, when to let people make their mistakes, or hopefully rise to the occasion and shine and discover their own powers and greatness. This is the potential of the month of Tammuz. This is the month of the moon, the month of the children of Israel. All you have to do is overcome your fears. All you have to do is grow your protection shell, the one that is porous, that lets your friends into you and unifies you with your friends, but keeps your enemies at bay. This coming Shabbat is Parsha Korach. We have the opportunity to control our fears, to remove the destruction of hurricanes and tsunamis, volcanoes. When you hear the reading, make use of your knowledge. Tell your synagogue. Tell your community. Meditate on removing natural disasters from the world. It's up to us. We create all these natural disasters with negative human activity. we can reverse that, remove it with positive human activity, starting with the meditations on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. During the month of Tammuz, we have the Parsha of Chukats, removing death through the Para Aduma, the red heifer. This coming Monday, I will be teaching many deep secrets from the Ari on the Para Aduma. The Parsha of Balak, which is the vaccine against uncertainty. It is the tool to remove your personal doubts and enhance your certainty regarding your connection to Hashem. During the 3 weeks, it's good to utilize the protection shield against the evil eye and the evil speech. The 11 verses. You can find them on the unique astrological events link. You can find them through a local search on the Yeshem webpage. The month of Tammuz is the completion of the Vav and the Zion. The Vav from the Parasha of Iyar, the month of Iyar, and the Zion from the month of Sivan. Tammuz is Tam, Vav, and Zion. And what does the Vav and the Zion create? When you build a house, when you build the shell, when you build the protection shield, you build the Chet, the letter Chet that is made of the Vav and the Zion and the little house on top. What happens when you complete the Vav and the Zion? You create unity. Because 6, the Vav, and 7, the Zion, total to 13, Echad, unification. The month of Tammuz is pure returning light. What is returning light? There is direct light which comes down from heaven, comes down through the upper worlds. We draw it down, but then it hits a barrier called a curtain. And that curtain reflects that light back up, called returning light. The four letters of the Tetragrammaton of Hashem's name, in the month of Tammuz, the permutation is exactly the opposite of the beginning of the Hashem's name. Instead of being Yud Hey Vav Hey, it's Hey Vav Hey Yud. Direct reversal. The letters of the month are the Taf and the Chet. We know where the Chet comes from. It's the completion of the Vav and the Zion. But what is the Taf? The Taf created the moon. The Taf is the last letter of the Hebrew Aleph Bet. The Taf is the end, it is the beginning, the paradox. and that is the month of Tammuz. The paradox. The moon has no light of its own, and yet it has all the light. It receives all the light from Zeranpin, from the sun, which is why its energy increases, why the length of the day increases. Later we will utilize the permutations, as we will discuss. There are no holidays in Tammuz, and yet there is the paradox. The 17th day of Tammuz was to be the day of the gift of the Torah. It was given in potential on the 6th of Sivan. And Moses went up for 40 days, which meant he should come down on the 17th of Tammuz. But the golden calf got built on the 17th. And so the energy of the completion of potential into actual of the Torah had to be delayed from the 17th of Tammuz all the way to Yom Kippur. Part of that time, the month of Av, was Moses trying to persuade Hashem to do what he wanted to do, which was forgive the children of Israel. And then he went back up for the 40 days on the 1st of Elul and came back on Yom Kippur. The holiday of the 17th of Tammuz is a fast day, a sunlight fast from morning till evening. Why? So that we will remember the mistakes that we have made. We, when we were in the desert, when we were incarnated into the generation of the desert, and we in this lifetime as well, what mistakes we have made. Because Mashiach has not yet come, which means we are responsible. We have kept Mashiach from coming. As our sages teach, any generation where the temple has not been rebuilt is as if we have destroyed the temple personally. Should we feel that? Yes. Should we feel guilty? That is not productive. That is falling to Satan twice. Be proactive and build the temple by feeling the pain of its loss, as we will do during the 3 weeks. In the afternoons, we will say together as a community Tikkun Rachel. More will be discussed as we get closer, as we learn about the three-week meditations. Practical tools to avoid problems during this month. Everything you do requires consciousness. So act consciously. Be aware of what you do, not allow yourself to become reactive. Strengthen our hit bodidut, a Hebrew word that means retreat within oneself. It's a month to increase your meditations. We will be providing, Bezrat Hashem, some practice tools that I will take one of our study sessions to explain that will help you practice your meditations, help you practice your travel from one dimension into another, from the physical to someplace else. But you will have the tools to protect yourself when you walk into those meditative places. The third, stay at home. It's not a time to travel. It's not a time to go swimming. During the 3 weeks, it's recommended to stay away from natural bodies of water. A swimming pool, no problem. A mikveh, no problem. A natural body of water, this is something we should be careful. During this month, we can expect that we will be exposed to deep changing emotions. Summer starts during Tammuz and our life patterns and habits change from our normal school year patterns to the summer patterns. This causes us to become reactive to the new patterns. Try not to travel during this period. If you must travel, travel. Try to not allow yourself to become reactive. Try to stop your reactions during this period. Use the energy of healing from ER and the energy of balance from Sivan to achieve the completion of unification of our homes and families during the month of Tammuz. And I'm going to now read a story, a quick story. It's titled Avoid Quarrels, and it's about avoiding quarrels, especially during the 3 weeks, especially during Tammuz and Av, because this is the energy of Satan promoting disagreements that become quarrels, that become, God forbid, worse. The nephew of the Tolner Rebbe in Jerusalem was on a plane from Israel to New York. This was this year in 2018. Sitting next to him was a strictly religious-looking man with his two young sons. As is customary in such a situation, they got to chatting. They got to schmoozing. Why they are going to New York? What was happening in their life? Many other subjects. And this is a brief retelling of the story that the Tolner Rebbe's nephew heard from the young man. And the Tolner Rebbe, hearing the story from his nephew, needed to verify for himself the truth of the story, and he did. So you can believe this story, you can believe it not. The choice is yours. The message will be clear. This young man is a very Lindish couple with small children. They live in Kiryat Sefer in Israel. Lindish means Lithuanian style, non-Hasidic. There was a Chabad, there was the Hasidic movement, And there were the Mitnagim, the others, the opponents. They had different views of the world. One was right column, one was left column. One was very intellectual and one was very emotional. The Litvish have their rebbes. The Hasidic have their rebbes. And there was disagreement between the rebbes about what was correct. This couple, this Litvish couple, had been married for 10 years, and they had no children. As a result, they were not living harmoniously, and the marriage was on the rocks. For those of you who do not know the halakha, if you are married for 10 years without children while living in the land of Israel, the halakha says you need to divorce. There was a conflict, there was this discussion, and the Litvish follow these halachot very seriously. The marriage was in difficulty. They were arguing. One evening, the husband went to his mentor, his main teacher, his Rebbe, which was in Ponovich, in the yeshiva in Bnei Brak. It's the most famous and prestigious of all the Lithuanian-style yeshivas in Israel, or even the world today. When he had been a student there, he to ask what to do at this point in his marriage. The Rebbe replied that unfortunately there are cases that a divorce is the only option, and this seems to be one of them. The husband responded that he doesn't want to tell his wife, as it will probably lead to another fight. His mentor agreed that perhaps he should find the right time to tell her and meanwhile just go back home. He went home and soon after they went to sleep. An hour later, the wife wakes up her husband in a panic and insists on telling him the following. She had a very intense, disturbing dream. In it, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Chabad Rebbe, appeared to her. She recognized him from the many pictures of him in newspapers and on posters. In a very vivid manner, the Rebbe said, "I understand that you both are contemplating divorce." It was not clear how the wife would know that her husband was wanting a divorce. He hadn't told her. She didn't know about his conversation with his Rebbe. The Chabad Rebbe said, "I want you to know." The Rebbe continued that in the early 80s, when your husband learned in Ponovich, there was terrible hostility from the Bnei Brak Litvish community toward Chabad. Your husband and some of his friends spoke and wrote many negative and hateful things about the Chabad Rebbe and the Hasidim. So before you get divorced, perhaps you should both go to a Rav, a high-level rabbi, and tell him what I said, and he should guide you on what to do. She asked her husband if it is true what the Rebbe told her in the dream. The man, wakened out of sleep, was annoyed and irritated. They were having troubles in this marriage, and here his wife is waking him up. He's annoyed that he was woken up. and angry that she mentioned a Rebbe whom he had extreme negative issues with. He screamed at her, "For this nonsense you wake me up?" And he went back to sleep. An hour later, it was the husband who woke up, the wife. Shakily told her that he just had had the exact same dream. He went again to B'nai Brak to speak to his Rebbe, his mentor, and told him about the dreams. He confessed he was not merely a participant in the dispute, but he was a ringleader, someone who really actually stirred up issues against Chabad and the Rebbe in the yeshiva. The rabbi, who was not at all Hasidic, said, "If that's the case, you need to go to the gravesite of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Chabad Rebbe, with a minion of 10 men, and ask forgiveness for what you said and what you did. The preferred method is to first specify exactly what you said and what you did that was not appropriate, and then to ask his forgiveness." After a moment, he offered another piece of advice. "Do not ask the Chabad Hasidim around there to be part of the minyan, because when they hear what you say and what you did, their reaction could be violent, maybe violent." The husband smiled. He told the rabbi that he was a brother-in-law in Brooklyn who heads a kollel, a Torah study location, a Torah studies for married men, and he almost surely will be happy to organize for him a minyan. As soon as the strands of his life allowed, the young man flew to New York. He arranged with his brother-in-law for the minyan, and together with them he went to the Rebbe's burial site, where he asked sincerely for forgiveness. A year to the day of the visit to the Ohel, the Rebbe's burial place in Queens, his wife gave birth to twin boys. The happy father concluded his story by saying that every year on the twins' birthday, he takes them to the Ohel, to the place where the Rebbe is buried, and tells them the above story. Then he explains to them the consequences of speaking against Tzaddikim, such as what happened when Daddy made the mistake of speaking against this Tzaddik that is buried here. The Tolner Rebbe added his opinion that the Lubavitcher Rebbe came all the way down from heaven to save the marriage and life of a highly non-Hasidic couple, a person who insulted and belittled him, because that is the essence of the Rebbe, to help people, even those who are strongly opposed to him. The month of Tammuz can, God forbid, breed arguments. This is the nature of Satan and the strength that he has given to keep people separated. It's up to you to recognize that and not become embroiled in these arguments. With that in mind, let us say, return to the consciousness. Bring with us the consciousness of the story. And let us say the Ana B'Koach together. Ana B'Koach. Good. Gedulat Yemincha. Tatim Teruah. Aleph Bet Gimel Yutah Tzadi. These six letters have a gematria of 506, the same gematria as the phrase. Unconditional love, ahavat hinam. Hasim kadosh birol tucha. No, that's not the verse, is it? Kabelinat amcha sagvenu tacharenu no. Ufreshayan, Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, which means to tear up, and Satan. Rearrange the letters, the six letters, and you spell Sha'ar Katan, small gates. The small gates that are your eyes, your ears, your nose, and your mouth. These are the entry points for Satan in the negative system. Na gibor dorshe yuhuka keva vachamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Nun Gimel Dalet, the gematria of 57, the same gematria as the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that lets us take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be rejuvenated, where it can be healed, where it can be strengthened and brought back into the body where it will again do its job as it was created to do. Barchem tacharem rakame sitkata tamini gamlem betet resh tzaditav gimel. This sequence connects to the Sephirah of Netzach and its essence of eternal victory. Hasim kadosh erov tucha na'el adatecha et kufbet tet nunayin. This sequence connects to the Sephirah of Hod and its essence of appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokre kedushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence connects to the Sephirah of Yesod and its essence of creativity, creation, sexuality, unification. Shavatenu ka ushmatziyakatenu yodea ta'alumot shin kufav tzadiyutta. The letters of the month of Tammuz, the Taf that created the moon, and the Chet that created the Sartan, the astrological sign of Cancer. Together, the Taf and the Chet have a gematria of 408. When we add the Kolel for each letter, it's 410. 410 is the gematria of the Hebrew word Kadosh, that means holy. Tammuz is a month that we can be holy. And we will take control of that by utilizing the permutation of the returning lights. Hey-wa-hey-yo, please stand and dance around. Hey-wa-hey-yo, 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 hey-wa-hey-yo. Hey wa hey yo, 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 hey wa hey yo. Are you happy even with this summertime? Are you happy as you? Hey, wa, hey, yo. Hey, wa, hey, yo. Hey, wa, hey, yo. Are you singing? Are you dancing? Hey, wa, hey, yo. Hey, wa, hey, yo. Hey, wa, hey, yo. Take control of Tammuz. Hey, wa, hey, yo. 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 Do not argue, do not quarrel. Hey, wa, hey, yo. Hey, wa, hey, yo. Be happy. Enjoy your life in Tammuz. Hey, wa, hey, yo. Hey, wa, hey, yo. Hey, wa, hey, yo. Hey.
Hey.
Kodesh Tov to all, Shalom Gadol, a great amount of peace and serenity in your life. Refrain from the quarrels. Refrain from being right. Remember, you don't have to be right, because the other guy is just as right. Shalom to all.
Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.